small ones, but nothing.
But you like them?
Yeah.
Really?
But I don't think any of the majors, no.
Well, certainly not some of the providers. Yeah. Well, we don't have a lot, anyway.
I think it's more of the little family care centers that tend to go out.
It's August 3rd, 3:16, and the Community Services Committee is in session, and we have Legislator Myers and Legislator Burton to make a quorum. And
I'm Meg Kukil, I'm Director of Victim Assistance Services, which is a part of West Cobb.
And you're going to give us a report on Victim Assistance Services.
I guess so. First of all, thank you for having us in. I'm going to give you a handout, which is a somewhat rough draft of an annual report. I say rough draft, I thought it was finished, but when I opened it up a little bit earlier, I saw a typo.
Uh-oh. A glaring typo.
Nice cover.
There you go.
Very nice.
And I guess that you really invited me in because of, I guess, two or three weeks ago, that a number of us came into your meeting, really voicing concern about two of our larger and I think more important programs. And I say important because I think all of our programs are important, but nobody else is doing the sexual assault work in the county. So that's really the place where I am most loath to experience any kind of cuts or anything, because my big concern is that really any kind of a cut is going to really curtail services. There's just no wiggle room. So, but if you want,
have you been contacted about a cut, if I may, through the chair?
Sure. No.
Did you take any cuts so far?
This year, not in those two programs. So for 2010, we have been promised there's no cut, but I can tell you that the two grants, which come through the Department of Probation, nobody understands why and what the history is, started January 1st, but we still don't have executed contracts. So they keep telling me everything's fine and there's no cut, but we do not have, so we have not been able to voucher them or anything. So over half the year is passed at this point.
So no executed contracts. It's through department.
How are you making things go?
I'm sorry?
How are you making things work then?
It's because of West Cobb, because West Cobb's large enough to sustain it, although I know that they are having cash flow problems.
West Cobb is fronted 7 months with your program?
No, that only that portion that comes.
Only that portion.
That portion,
yeah.
Of the program. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
So it's two contracts. Do you remember what they are for? Because we can.
One of them is the SANE contract, Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner,
yeah. Which
and
we made sure was kept whole last year. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Approximately $101,000. I don't keep numbers well in my head, but that's pretty close. And the other one is the Rape Crisis Program, which also comes through probation. And that is in the vicinity of $90,000. I think it's a little bit less than that.
Is that a pass-through from the state or the feds?
No, that's county funds. That's county funds. I can tell you that before the economic, what do we call it at this point, depression, whatever it is, started, that we had begun working very hard with our delegation in Albany to try to get the state to really step up to the plate. And that's before things even, you know, became like they are now. Because historically, the state has given very little money to Rape Crisis. We do receive a $50,000 grant through the Department of Health, state, but almost half of that is actual federal money and must be used for prevention education. So there's only about $25,000 that we get from the state for actual service delivery. And in order to qualify for that, we have to have a 24-hour hotline, we have to have a certain number of advocates, a volunteer base. There's a whole bunch of things that we have to have in order to qualify for that $25,000. We're very thankful for it, but it's not much. So outside of what the county provides, that's really it for sexual assault programming here in the county. There is a small DCJS grant, which is federal money flowing through Albany. I think it's around $20,000. That's for the SANE program. The SANE program, you might remember, is mandated, but there was never any funding for it.
Set aside, yeah.
So historically, Westchester has stepped up to the plate. I think they were the first, I think they might have been the first SANE program in Westchester, and they're a model program. So it's something I think very much worth preserving. Again, before things became so difficult, we actually were lobbying for, we were educating people about the need for more money, because what the state, what the county funds is 80 exams a year, sexual assault forensic exams a year. And we've actually been getting calls for more than that. The only reason that that has not been a problem is because we don't make all the calls. We don't have we have 24-hour 7 coverage, but there are shifts that are uncovered. So each year there's around 15 calls that come through where we don't have a nurse available. It might be because there's two calls at once, or because there simply wasn't coverage at that point.
So who covers in that case?
There's no nurse. That means the emergency room personnel, the victim has to wait until somebody's able to do it. And you might remember from the testimony, Karen Carroll, who was going to try to be here today, but she actually works for the same program in the Bronx and is on call. So she may well be on call right now. She's a survivor herself. She talks about it very freely. And somewhere around 15 years ago, when she was sexually assaulted and was brought to the emergency room, she needed to talk the emergency room doctor through the exam because he did not know how to do it. And that was before there was the same exam, the same program. So that's sexual assault. You know, when you have time, you might want to read through some of this. There's stats from 2009 in here about the number of victims that are seen. But Victim Assistance Services also has a host of other programs. We're a full service, what's called a Comprehensive Crime Victims Program. We are also funded through the State Crime Victims Board, which just became the Victims Assistance something, to provide services to all victims of violent crime. So we have specialized programming for the survivors of homicide victims, elder abuse, child abuse. We do have a DSS grant, which we're in the process of negotiating with them, but the initial ask was for a 20% cut for next year. We're prepared to do that. And that's for victim advocates who are housed with DSS, two of them in the child advocacy program. And that's a particular concern as we move forward because, you know, should we lose all four, the child advocacy program actually wouldn't qualify for certification because victim advocates must be a part of it. But I'm being perfectly frank with you here is that, you know, if I need to negotiate anywhere, I'd much rather lose funding from programs other than the sexual assault programs. So, and obviously, we're all going to have to, we're all going to have cuts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we have sites in throughout the county, in Peekskill, Yonkers, Mount Vernon, here in White Plains, in several different sites. And our main office is in Elmsford. We have a new federal grant program to design services based on the sexual assault services we already have, but to be grounded within the Latina cultural ethos. And that staff person, which we've hired, is housed with the Hispanic Coalition of White Plains. That program just started. That's a three-year grant.
Any sort of, what are the stats like on the Latino community?
You know, we haven't been keeping separate stats, so we will start doing that with this program. But we do see a number of Latino victims coming through. We're also part of that new coalition, the CAJ, Committee for the Advancement of Justice, that you probably have heard about. Mm-hmm. That's looking at hate crimes and other crimes committed against Latino communities. We do a lot of community education in the schools and elsewhere. We've begun to develop SART programs. There is an article in here about that. SART is Sexual Assault Response Teams, which is kind of a multidisciplinary approach to sexual assaults. We actually spearheaded that. We have three separate meetings that are taking place, one in the lower county, the mid-county here in White Plains, and then up towards Peekskill. I'm bringing together police departments and other public safety folks, along with victim advocates, to look at ways to better coordinate services. We do a lot of police training. Mm-hmm.
How big is your staff? I mean, how many people are
we have a staff of 25.
So it's 25.
Most of them are direct service. There's very little administrative staff at all, other than me, really. I do have an assistant director who is actually a clinician, has to carry, because of the way the grants work, has to carry a half-time caseload himself. I also see clients.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of his time is spent doing clinical supervision. We have, I believe it's five credentialed trauma therapists. And when you work with trauma cases, there's a need for a lot of supervision around that. It's very difficult work. So all of our services are free. So I'm pretty much chief, what is it called, chief bottle washer?
Bottle washer.
Bottle washer.
Yeah,
bottle washer.
So 53% is federal funding. And the county represents 38%. And that's
right.
Through the Department of Probation.
Probation, DSS, the DSS grant has been $245,000. We will, again, at least a 20% cut is what I'm expecting in that.
And the Department of Probation, again, we say is about $190,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of very small grants with corrections, two $20,000 grants, where we provide victim impact panels that go into the county jails.
So that's 40.
Yeah.
And are those contracts signed, sealed, and delivered, the ones in corrections?
One is and one isn't. The one that is not, though, is actually between St. John's Hospital and corrections. And so we're contracting with St. John's Hospital.
Okay.
So that, they're the ones at fault. We just got that contract, yeah. We have one, I haven't mentioned the fact that we provide all non-residential domestic violence services as well, and I think you know we work closely with My Sister's Place and Carla's group. We have one group with the Office for Women, one contract with the Office for Women, which has been at $55,000, but we are expecting at least a 20% hit in that one as well. And that's to provide...
But is that a grant?
That's a grant. That is county funds, and that's to provide an advocate in the Yonkers Family Court. Our other contract, the Office for Women, is their federal grant for the Family Justice Center. So it's not county funding. Domestic violence is actually the single largest crime group of clients that we see.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen any recent increase these last 8-10 months?
I can't say that we've seen an increase in cases. Although, I think like most not-for-profits, we find a way to assimilate all cases that come in when we never have a waiting list, but we've actually started talking about a wait list. It's not so much the numbers of cases, it's the needs that each case has, so that we're seeing people coming in with much greater needs. So a meeting with a client that maybe used to take an hour, or maybe you'd have 3 1-hour sessions and then send her on her way, now there are all kinds of services that she needs help with. So each case takes a lot more time, more resources.
Mr. Burton, do you have any?
No, I'm just trying to digest this, the kinds of cuts that we're already doing. 10% is one thing, but 20, I thought it was always 10.
They came back and said 20.
Yeah. Now, I was in touch with, and I'm going to forget her name right now, but she's a new assistant to Rocco in probation. Spoke with her last week. I had hoped to get a call back from her today about the to get more information. But what she told me was new information, which was that they are looking closely at the two sexual assault programs, and it sounded to me like, although they have, it doesn't sound like they made any decisions, that we are vulnerable. But what she said was that they're actually not part of probation's budget, that the money flows through them, but they're not on their budget. So I asked her to find out more. She didn't really know that much and get back to me about that. So that's kind of new information.
We'll try to find it.
I had met with Ken Jenkins
earlier
in the year.
For some reason, I thought it was through Department of Community Mental Health. I thought the same program was.
No, maybe originally, because I've only been with the agency 4 years. But not in a long time, I don't think.
So you don't work through Grant Mitchell?
No, I don't have anything with Grant.
Okay.
The other thing to realize about, really about all of our programs, but especially the two sexual assault programs, is that they leverage the funding tremendously with volunteers. We have a huge staff of volunteers, and that's how we're able to have 24/7 coverage. Mm-hmm. So, and there's two ways that that our staff and volunteers work with rape survivors. One is the same program, and those are the nurses that are on call, and they volunteer to be on call. There's no, they're not paid to be on call. They are paid a very small stipend, under $300 each time they actually do an exam. Mm-hmm. But for the on-call shifts, they're not paid at all. So, you know, ideally, every time a rape victim goes into any of the emergency rooms, there's one hospital that, I think it's Phelps, that has never been part of the program. But every other hospital in the county is.
They refuse it?
Yeah.
Nobody gets raped up there.
They just. My understanding is that it's more to do with, it has to do with the chief of medicine up there who just doesn't believe in having outside people come in more than anything else. But every other hospital, every time a rape survivor comes in, the on-call nurse is notified and they meet the victim there. But the other thing that we have is we also have on-call advocates who go in, because a nurse can't be an advocate even though they're trained to understand trauma and hopefully they're compassionate and understanding. They can't advocate because that then contaminates their ability to testify at trial. So we also have an advocate that goes in. And those are all volunteers during non-business hours.
Okay, let me go back a minute. On Phelps, what mm-hmm. happens if someone does get raped up there?
Their ER staff has to take care of it. Yeah. And the whole reason behind having SANE is that not only are people not trained to do the exams, they don't do them all that frequently if they have been trained. Many doctors don't like doing them, and often it's clear that they don't like doing them. Mm-hmm. And it's not an emergency unless there's a life-threatening injury at the same time. So people prior to SANE were spending, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 hours in the emergency room before they were SANE, because the heart attacks and the car accidents and all of those things come first. That's why SANE was developed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I know I'm preaching to the choir.
You said you did come in and speak with Ken. Mm-hmm.
Yes, several months ago, and specifically wanting him to be familiar with this and also getting his advice, because I knew that we're not consistent with probation's mission. So I wanted his advice in terms of trying to maybe find a different home for SANE. And his advice was stay where you are, because any place else you're going to be the new guy mm-hmm. And more vulnerable for that reason, which also makes mm-hmm. sense. But I'm trying to get in to see Rocco. Haven't been able to do that.
You haven't? Mm-hmm. He funds you and you're not, he's not speaking to you? The answer is yes. That's weird.
No, I did have, I had relationships with two of his assistant commissioners, but they're both gone now. Huh. They left in that, you know.
And you just established
is Rocco
a relationship with the new person.
Is he on
no,
the list?
No, no.
He's staying.
Yeah, he doesn't have that much time.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure he's 55.
All right, we got to talk to him. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So just know, like, I know you're hearing this from everybody else, but we really have almost no place else to go to make cuts other than cutting staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which means cutting service.
Cutting service. So I will, you know, if these two grants are cut, I will try to move people around, because, again, you know, unfortunately, there's more than enough business to go around. So, you know, the different agencies aren't competing for business. There are that many people in need. But just the fact that other people do DV and other people do some of the other things, I will move staff around to try to keep these two programs fully staffed. But that's not always so easy to do with other grants. So mm-hmm. it's a real predicament. So anything you can do to help.
Thank you.
Thank you very
yeah,
much.
We'll work with our budget people.
Thank you for coming in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much.
See you tomorrow.
All right. Oh, Thursday.
Thursday.
By the way, is this official? Can I say something less formal?
No.
No? Okay, no. Never mind.
Oh, wait a minute.
Do you want a copy of the report?
Yeah. Do you want, we have a set of minutes to approve while we're doing that.
So moved.
Yes. Oh, I read them too. Second.
Okay,
lovely minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, May.
Oh, yeah.
May?
Yes.
Yeah. Have a seat just a minute. Okay.
Oh,
okay. You read them both? And
yes.
You, okay. All right. Anything else that we have here that we need to do? We have this evening? No, I think that's it.
Right.
Okay. Can I officially adjourn this meeting?
You may.
Second.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Do you want to turn off this?
Yeah.
Um,